join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with Opportunities and Opportunists.
Let's go to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9 again. 1 Corinthians 16 and 9. And Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Great opportunity, great door, effectual. And right along with this great opportunity, I still got to keep my eyes open because there's some adversaries. The Amplified, that verse says, "A wide door of opportunity for effectual service has opened to me. There a great and promising one, and there are many adversaries." There is the New Living Translation of that says, "There is a wide door open for a great work here, although many oppose me." There's a wide door open and a great work here, although many oppose me. Isn't it something that in the midst of blessings that you got to be careful of adversaries? Jesus said this. He says, "No man has left mother or father, sisters and brothers who will not be blessed with brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, houses and lands." All that stuff sounds like addition. He says, with persecution. In other words, while you're being blessed, there's also going to be those who try to persecute you. And some people try to persecute you because you're blessed. He said, there's a great door, but there are many adversaries. And even, you know, I think I gave the example last week that when God was separating Gideon's army, he brings them down to the brook. He says, "Tell them to drink." And he said, those who would remain were those who simply stooped down to drink and brought the water up by cupping their hand versus those who got down on all fours and lapped like a dog. What was he saying? He said, while you're refreshing yourself, you still got to watch out for the enemy. And so the subject of this series that I started last week is entitled Opportunities and Opportunists. Opportunities and Opportunists. Because I believe prophetically that 2021 is going to present some unusual and divine ordained opportunities, but there will also be opportunists. And so while we're pursuing the opportunities, we have to look for, be aware of the opportunists. Don't let the opportunists stop you from pursuing opportunity, but understand, even though you pick 12, one of them might be a devil. Opportunity, we said, this set of circumstances that make things possible to do something or accomplish something. Opportunity is a favorable and juncture or arrangement of circumstances that end up bringing a positive result in your life. An opportunity is a chance for advancement. I believe, and we're declaring, that 2021 is going to be a time for advancement for you and for the kingdom of God. Opportunity for increase, opportunity for promotion, opportunity for new deals, new joint ventures, for territory enlargement. But in order to maximize your opportunities, you also need to be aware of an opportunist, of opportunities. And we said, I gave you a little bit about opportunists, that opportunists will always try to hang around and take advantage of blessed people for their own selfish motives. So God gives a divine word to Abraham to leave and go pursue the blessing. I'm going to bless you, but leave your family. He said, well, you're going to have to leave your country and your kindred. And this kindred named Lot, a nephew, went with him. And God didn't even speak anymore. Oh, here's a word for somebody. God didn't speak anymore until he fully complied. He said, leave your mother, your father, your kindred. That's the word he gave him. And he left. He takes Lot with him. And then we come over to Genesis 13. We don't see that God spoke anymore until he sent Lot away. Sometimes not only you can have people with you who are keeping you from hearing God. You have people around you, and God says, I'm not saying anything further until you do what I first said. I learned this many years ago from my prior pastor, that until you hear differently, the last orders stand. The last orders stand. I often preach about God tells Abraham, he tells Moses, come up to the mountain and be there. And he gets up there, and for 6 days, he doesn't hear anything. But he wasn't supposed to go back down the mountain. The last thing, I just told you to be there. I didn't tell you my next move. And I'm not going to tell you the next move until you fully comply with the first move. And there's so many people wondering, saying, well, why hasn't God told me? I know he told me this, but he hasn't told me anything else. He told me he's going to tell me go there. But then what am I supposed to do after that? God said, I'm not speaking anything further until you fully comply with the first step. If you just can't do the first thing, what makes you think you're going to do 1, 2, and 3? You know, many times, sometimes I'm working on my computer, and now, you know, says, or my phone, you know, we got everything in the phone now. And so, you know, I might have a password, but it's in one app or one program. And I got, so you try to remember all these numbers. You can't remember all together. You have to end up going back and forth. For 1, 2, then you can put 1, 2. Then you put the next one is 3, 4. Then you put in 3, 4. Because you don't remember 1, 3, 4, 8, 9, Q, T, X. And God gives us things in a way that we can handle it. Step by step. That's a word for somebody. It wasn't in my notes. I don't know who that's for. But you need to receive that and fully comply with what God said. But an opportunist is one who's going to exploit the circumstances to gain their immediate advantage, rather than being guided by consistent principles or plan. You need to understand, an opportunist will say they love what you love just to hang around you. And opportunities will act like they agree with you, but they don't agree with you in their heart. Okay? And opportunities will say the right things and do the right things. And opportunities just wants a base. And opportunities just wants to hang around, and I'll do whatever you, whatever, if you like that, I like that. If you agree, I agree. Because an opportunity, I'm waiting to make my move. This really ain't about you. It's not about your vision. It's not about your plan. It's not about your church. It's really about me. I'm just waiting for my opportunity to maximize off of your opportunity. And so we have to beware of opportunities. Let's go a little bit deeper today. Let's look at Genesis 26. I mentioned this last week. But in Genesis 26, starting in verse 18, it says, and Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them or clogged them up after the death of Abraham. And he called the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. But that's what our opportunities do. Isaac digged those wells. Isaac dug those wells. As a matter of fact, he was redigging what his father did. And the herdmen, Gerar, said, the water is ours. No, this is so interesting. They didn't even say the wells are ours. They didn't even say the land is ours. They didn't even say the dirt that you dug out is ours. They said the water is ours. Now, in order for me to get to the water, I got to dig a minimum of 200 feet. You want really good water, you got to go at least sometimes 1,000 feet. I do all the digging, and then water comes out, and you won't claim the water? That's an opportunist. Because opportunists, follow me, want what you've worked for. The water is ours. The water is ours. Opportunities are very similar. Come on, y'all. Remember Lion King? And there's been a remake of it now. So some of us, we never knew what a hyena was until a Lion King. I didn't. But we know what a hyena is now. But some people are just very similar to, opportunities very similar to hyenas. Hyenas don't hunt, but they wait for you to hunt. And then they want to take your meat. Boy, don't make me dance here. How you going to take my meat? And I did the hunting. That's what hyenas do. That's what opportunists do. They'll sit around, wait for you to gather something. Then they want to prosper from what you, then they want to springboard from you. Opportunists want to reap harvest without sowing seed. Opportunists want to reap harvest without sowing seed. And yet when I say that, I need to let you know that there are divinely ordained favor opportunities where God arranges it. You're not, because you're being opportunity. You didn't even want it. You wasn't even trying to do this thing. And somebody else getting mad because they think you were opportunities. No, this is all God. I didn't even want to do this. I didn't even know this was coming. And I'm talking about that's a divinely favored opportunity, because when there's a favor opportunity, God will arrange favor opportunities in which he supernaturally gives you things you did not have to work for. He promised the children of Israel he'll do this. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bring you to land that floweth with milk and honey. He said, and then I'm going to give you houses you don't have to build, filled with all kinds of good things that you don't have to make nor buy. That principle, Jesus even talked about it. And look at Mark 10, verse 31. Because he says, many that are first shall be last. And the last first. That concept, that principle of the first being last being first, is in all of the synoptic gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All of them say that God will supernaturally arrange things and he will return and reverse the order of things. Where the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Oh my God. Remember with Ephraim and Manasseh, and Joseph comes to bring his sons before his father, Jacob, Abraham, yeah, he comes to bring before his father Jacob to bless his children, and he brings the oldest one and puts it on his right hand, because this time Jacob is his eyes are dim, and he brings the younger one and puts it on the left hand, because the right hand is greater authority, greater blessing, left hand less authority, lesser blessing, and Jacob changes the order of his hand. Now this is so interesting. He changes the order of it, and he said, no, I know what I'm doing. I know you think I'm blind and see now, but I'm not. I know exactly what I'm doing. He said, because this one is going to be greater than that one. God has a greater plan than for this one. And I know that's how it looks like it naturally is. And the interesting thing is that, remember Jacob, he stole his brother's blessing. He was an opportunist. Oh, my God. He was an opportunist. When he saw his brother was hungry, he said, all right, you're hungry? You want some of this? You want some of this soup? And you can get some, but you gotta give me your blessing. Gotta give me what you were entitled to. He was an opportunist. But in this case, he realizes, no, this boy won't have to be an opportunist. God is divinely arranging this. You won't have to steal anything. You won't have to be a slickster. You won't have to be a trickster. God is gonna bless you despite. And you won't have to try to finagle your way to do it. You won't have to scheme your way into this blessing. You'd be surprised. So many people think the only way you can get ahead is by hook and crook and scheming. Come on now. But when God divinely arranges things for you, when God will put you in a place that nobody can take you out of. God will put you on a platform that nobody can push you off of. God will put you in a room that nobody can lock the door and expel you from. But we got to wait for God to arrange those favor opportunities. Because a favor opportunity isn't fair, it's just favor. Some of us who've been blessed and we know it wasn't fair, we need to just go ahead and say, you know, people say, I don't think it's fair. It ain't. It is not. It don't make any sense. You're more qualified than me. You look better than me. You sing better than me. You preach better than me. It ain't even fair. So take it up to God. Tell him how unfair it is. Favor opportunity isn't fair. It's just favor. Look at John 4:37-38. Jesus said, and herein is that truth, is that saying true. Watch this. One soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. I will bless you and you will reap from that which you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, but now you are entered into their labors. Now, you don't deliberately try to arrange that, but if God arranges that, that's between God and God. Hear what I say? That's true. That's between God and God. I know I have walked in some favor I did not qualify for. It was just all God. I told you, I heard somebody say years ago, and I agreed with it for many years, and I went to say it one time. The Lord said, really? And that has heard somebody say, he said, those of us who are blessed, we know why we blessed. We know we've tithed. We know we've lived right. We know we've done this and we've done that. And I went to say it. I said one time, I came out of my mouth. He said, you know, those of us who are blessed, we know we're blessed. But when I heard it years ago, it sounded good. The Lord said, do you really? Oh, you know why you're blessed. So start listening while you walking on. Listening why? No, there's some things, I believe there's certain principles I live by that there's an inherent blessing in the promise. There's an inherent blessing in the obedience. But there's some things I know I didn't qualify for. It wasn't because I tithe, because I give, and it wasn't because I look good. It wasn't because I crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. It was because of God's grace. Grace. Grace gives you what you didn't cross your T for. Grace gives you what you didn't dot the I for. Grace gives you what you didn't qualify for. Grace gives you what you couldn't wait on and couldn't work for. Grace, the unmerited blessing, the unmerited favor. Didn't earn it, he just gave it to me. The favor of God. And God will arrange favor, grace, opportunities, and will cause you to reap that upon which you bestowed no labor, and other men labored, and you've entered into their labors. That verse from the New Living Translation says, I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work. Ooh. Glory to God. That's a promise for somebody. Somebody need to receive that. God getting ready to bless you, and I know you're prepared to do all this work, but God said, I'm going to bless you and give you something where somebody else had already done the work. He said, and now, watch this, and now you will get to gather the harvest. John 4:38, New Living Translation. The Message Translation says, I sent you to harvest a field you never worked. And without, oh my God, without lifting a finger, you'll walk in on a field worked long and hard by others. Glory to God. Because God has a way of doing things, and sometimes we don't even know why, but the last will first and the first will last, and sometimes I don't know what the first did, and it ain't no sense me trying to figure out what how come they're not first anymore. I just know God got a way of changing the tables and reversing the order according to his divine order. So it's one thing for God to arrange a favor opportunity and a great opportunity, and it's another thing for you to be an opportunist. Now, Paul was determined to never be accused of being an opportunist. In Acts 20:33-35, Paul said, listen, he said, come on. He said, people, I know people talking about me and saying this about me and talking this. He said, let me remind you of something. He said, let me remind you. Let's set the record straight. Paul says in going to Acts 20:33-35, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. He said, I didn't try to get your jewelry. I didn't try to get your money. I didn't try to get your clothes. I didn't want nothing you had. Verse 34. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. Paul said, I worked for everything I got. And to them that were with me. Verse 35, he said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. Now, here he's talking about physical labor. He said, get off your rusty dusty and do something. You ought, by laboring, by working, you ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul said, what has set me up to be in a posture to receive is because I've given. Romans 15 and 20, Paul goes on again. He says, yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel. Watch this. See, I don't want anyone to accuse me of being an opportunist. Not where Christ was named. Lest I should build upon another man's foundation. You know, years ago when we first went on television, the Lord gave me real specific instruction. And sometimes you hear me still say it. He said, take the word of God where it's rare and precious. He said, and this is no offense, but I'm just saying what he said to me. He said, every major preacher is in the major cities on television there. He said, but there's some rural towns. There's some small places where others aren't trying to go because it doesn't look like it could be very prosperous. I have been preaching the gospel for 43 years, more than that. Over 40 years, I'll start losing count. I started preaching at 12. I got licensed at the age of 16. I got ordained at the age of 18. And I've been pastoring for 25 years, 10 years assistant pastor before that. Operating as evangelist, doing revivals and going from church to church before that. And out of all my years of preaching, I preached at conventions. I preached a large crowd, small crowd. My most rewarding time of preaching was not before a big convention. It was not at one of Bishop Jake's meetings or getting on the platform. My most rewarding time of preaching was when we went to Ghana, West Africa. And we had to drive a couple hours down what they call a highway, up and down and boom, boom, boom. And then we turned and looked like, I thought this is like a fugitive movie or something. Surely we definitely being kidnapped here. Nobody gonna know where we are, that they've ever took us here. And we took a right and we rode through bush. I'm like, there's no road. You know, we will make a road. We went through bush. Deep into the bush. And when we got deep into the bush, finally we get to this place with this little cinder block church. And looked up the hills and people were coming from everywhere. And they said, man of God, well, we must get you in. They got me in because the people started crowding all around. And they were looking all around and some looking in the window. And that was my most rewarding time of preaching, was in this little church. In the middle of a bush in Africa where nobody was thinking that, man, you can get a good offering there. Sometimes if you want to be blessed, stop looking for an opportunity that somebody's already done. And be willing to go someplace nobody else has gone. Do something nobody else has done. Work with somebody that nobody else will work with. Give somebody an opportunity that nobody else will give an opportunity. So Paul says in Romans 15 and 20, hey, I strive to preach the gospel not where Christ was heard, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Say, I'm not an opportunist. That verse from the New Living Translation says, my ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. Hmm. 1 Corinthians 3 and 10. Paul calls himself a master builder. He says, according to the grace of God which is given to me, my calling, my anointing, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he build thereon. He said, when you're trying to build on somebody else's platform, when you're trying to springboard from what somebody else's diving board, he said, be careful how you're doing that. Watch your motives and make sure that you are not merely being an opportunist. The Message translation of that verse in 1 Corinthians 3:10, it says, Paul says, using the gift God gave me as a good architect, I design blueprints. God has blessed me to be a good architect, and I design blueprints. He said, there's something God's given me to start from scratch. Can I tell you, you don't have to be an opportunist. God can make you a good architect. New Living Translation, he calls himself expert builders. Listen to me clearly here. God still needs some master builders. God still needs some blueprint designers. God still needs some foundation layers. In other words, God still needs some starters and initiators. And sometimes people are just simply waiting. And God saying, no, that's something I'm calling you to break into. Stop complaining what doesn't exist. Create it. Stop complaining about how people ought to do it. Show them how they ought to do it. I learned over the years to have some real good response when I hear people just run down the church. I don't mean my particular church, but the church and churches. They say, you know, is there so many hypocrites in the church? People be up there lying. They be cheating. They backbite one another. They in competition. All that going on in the church. I said, it sure is. I said, you know what? We need people like you in the church. Because I know you wouldn't ever do any of those things. Because you need to come to our church and show us how to do this thing. Be a wise master builder. Stop complaining about what is, what isn't. Show folks how to do it. Anybody can sit by and complain about how something ought to be done. Now, I know how chicken ought to taste.
2021 will present opportunities in your life, but there will also be opportunists looking to take advantage of you. In this teaching, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us how to maximize the opportunities presented to us, as well as how to recognize and avoid the opportunists around us. To order this series, call 877-798-5433. Or order online at rightdirection.info. Just ask for opportunities and opportunists. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.